I'm John Batzer, the Friends of History Debating Society. Time for my cricket lesson. Jeremy Zakas is my instructor. When last we spoke, Australia's Test cricket team, which was dominating in the Ashes series of last year, is getting ready for the season. Well, it's in the season, and it played New Zealand and overwhelmed New Zealand. It wasn't a fair match. One side just dominated everything. New Zealand, however, now goes on to play England, and things get reversed. The headline, Blundell's brilliant saves New Zealand. Bay Oval, second day of five. England, with 8 second inning wickets in hand, are 98 runs ahead of New Zealand. But New Zealand comes back. How do they do it, Jeremy?
Well, John, I think the simple answer is that New Zealand used baseball. And this is an English technique where basically when you're down or when you're getting towards, I guess you could say, the end of a five-day set, you actually adopt a very aggressive batting and bowling style. And I think in some ways, maybe England was taken aback by this. They weren't expecting firstly, the New Zealand bowlers to come in so fast. They certainly weren't expecting the aggressive batting style because from what I could tell, England had their fielders way too close to the pitch to, you know, stop any of the balls rolling over the line. Honestly, New Zealand just knew how to play them, and they just played their hearts out and played really professionally and well. And honestly, England, they in some ways were probably, rest assured, they felt like they'd actually won that whole series. You know, they were 98 up. There was really no cause for concern. But, I mean, New Zealand surprised them, and I think that was what won it in the end. So New Zealand, a team that Australia beat, you know, not that long ago, managed to beat a team that we lost against quite badly not that long ago. So, John, this is why cricket's getting exciting now. We're seeing instances of this happening more and more.
The two different kinds of cricket are underway. There's Test cricket, and we're talking about that now, but there's T20 cricket, and your T20 women's team is dominating. There's a big playoff. There's a big world championship right now, I believe in South Africa. And the headlines are exciting for the T20. Beth Mooney and Elisa Healy hit Australia to T20 World Cup match, win over Sri Lanka. Oh, this is the same game, and they're not playing baseball. They're playing fast. How does it work, Jeremy? Remind me of the rules of T20.
Absolutely, John, and you nailed it right on the head there. In T20, you only have 20 overs for each team to bat and 20 overs to bowl. So what you have to do is you have to get out there fast. So unlike a five-day series where you can have literally hundreds of overs to complete your victory, in T20, you must, when you're up to bat, finish it within 20 overs. Otherwise, you know, you've left players out there on the field, you've left runs on the board. So what you tend to see in these T20 games is cricketers, instead of going out there and watching balls come down, maybe for the first couple of bowls to try and get an understanding of the bowler and what they're doing, they will just try and hit the ball from the very first ball because they know if they don't, the other team's going to do it. And with only 20 overs, they will really be able to rip through you quite quickly. So it's a fantastic way to play cricket, basically. And it's fantastic for anybody watching it too, because you're suddenly seeing the fielding's much faster, the actual batting's much faster. And it also tests the skills of the players, because the players don't have, you know, 3 or 4 days to try and size up the bowler, try and size up the other team, because they have to figure it out within the space of only about an hour and a half before they swap sides and go into the other side of either bowling or batting. So this is a great game, John. This is something I can't rave more about.
Now, we go to the Australia men's team. This is Test cricket. And where are they playing, Jeremy? Are they playing in India, Delhi?
At the moment, they're in India, and I believe they're there for at least another series by the looks of it. So this is the much longer form of cricket. And as you can tell, T20 moves around a lot quicker, so they'll be in one location maybe for 1 or 2 weeks at most. Whereas, say, the Indian side, our Test series side, they've actually been in Delhi in India now for the good part of a month, because they turned up about a week and a half beforehand to get the rehearsals, the preparations, and the practice in. Then they play the five-day test. There's a lot more distance in between each five-day test, but say between India, say then between Sri Lanka and where the games are played compared to T20, because T20, I guess if you think like baseball and a team on the road, they just move pretty much from cricket ground to cricket ground and play in quick succession. So, yeah, the men's side are still in India, and they're coming to the end of the Indian series.
All right, it's time for me to read beautiful language that makes no sense, all right? This is This is, Jeremy tells me this is cricket tout at the top of the game. I believe this is the London Times reporting. In 10 overs of mastery of line and length, the wobble seam and hitting the pitch hard, across an hour and 45 minutes of sustained excellence, Broad looked like his younger self running in from the pavilion end at Trent Bridge, but on the other side of the world and with a pink ball in his hand. Jeremy, what's happening?
In this case, what you're hearing is basically, I'll start with the pink ball. Now, the pink ball is actually something that's played in many test series now. It originally started as a kind of a red ball too, because it's easier to see, especially in low light. And you can imagine, John, a cricket ball is such a heavy thing, such a hard thing. And when it's coming down at you at about, say, 90 miles an hour, which some of them are doing, especially in the low light conditions, sometimes batsmen were being hit by these balls because they physically couldn't see it. Pink is very easy to see amongst all the crowd, amongst all the sort of greenery behind the bowler. So starting with the pink ball, this tells you instantly that this is a full-day test and that it was actually being played probably under lights and into the evening. Also, the pink part of it as well is actually to do with women's charity. So the pink ball was adopted in support of women's charity around the world. So it has got a commercial angle to it as well. But then breaking it down further, talking about the wobble seam, what that's telling you is that basically – the balls that they were bowling down were not, I guess you could say, ordinary balls. Weren't I guess you could say, kind of like a fastball in baseball. They weren't straight at the stumps. They were actually bowling a whole lot of spin balls. They were probably bowling a whole lot of Yorkers, which is where the ball basically bounces just in front of the batsman and then sort of, I guess you could say, turns into the stumps. So the wobbly seam means basically the ball wasn't doing what the bats person thought it was going to do. So that was sustained for at least an hour, 45 minutes here. And basically the rest of it, the excellent says that the pace of the bowling, the pace of the batting was sustained throughout. It wasn't, there were no, I guess you could say, dips and troughs in their effort. They sustained that over 1 hour, 45 minutes. So really what it said in many, many different words, John, is basically this was a fantastic 1 hour, 45 set of cricket with, you know, some very tricky balls to hit heading into sort of the evening match.
All right, the next paragraph. The fact he, Broad, the bowler, the fact Broad dismissed four batsmen for 21 runs. I think that means he made them out four outs and they only scored 21, which is a very low number. All comprehensively bowled, summed up by the domination as he sent flashing bales high in the night sky as if they were distress flares fired by New Zealand batsmen. Let me guess. What that means is they were swinging and the ball was going straight up. And were they catching it or did they have to catch it? Could they just field it?
Well, actually, John, in this case, you're very close. Something did have to go straight up in this case, but it wasn't actually the ball. What was happening here? The flashing bales heading high into the sky like flares and fireworks is basically saying that the balls were hitting the stumps so hard and with such force that they were flicking the bales high into the sky. So what they're actually saying here is that the balls that were going into the stumps were heading in very fast, which is probably a clue as to why four of those batsmen were actually out, as you said, for only 21 runs. And that is incredibly low for a professional side. So this is just saying the bowler was absolutely on target, on mark, and created quite a bit of impact, literally.
All right, so he was striking them out. That's what this is, a very a gifted poetic way of saying strike three. Is that what we're going in on? All right.
Exactly.
And now this. Broad followed the bowling plans to the letter, challenging Conway's inside edge, a weakness England exposed last summer, to bowl him through the gate. He homed in on Williamson's pads and stumps, making him play at every ball before threading one between bat and front leg. I think he got him out, but what about the part about inside edge? What's that?
What that's actually referring to, and it's a sneaky way to describe basically a batsman's very average style. And what it means, the inside edge, is that place between the basically the bat and the front leg of the batsman. And obviously, in this case, the batter there, Williamson, has been known to not protect that, because what you try and do in cricket is without getting your leg in front of the middle stump, which, because if you do that and the ball hits it, that's leg before wicket, you're actually out because you've tried to block the stump with your own leg, not the bat. But what you can do is you sort of bring your bat back and actually protect that inside edge. And so what the bowler did was they basically bowled everything at the inside edge to force the batsman to continuously bring the bat back to that area, which meant obviously in this case the batsman can't hit from there, because some batters, they can hit from there and they can, you know, convincingly get it over the fence for six, but Williamson couldn't. And what it sounds like they actually did, and actually from what I saw them do, just before they got him out, they basically bowled a few more that meant he opened up his bat. So they bowled to his outside edge, which meant he put the bat further away from his leg. And then on the third or fourth ball, they bowled another one straight through the inside edge, because he couldn't get it back quick enough because it's his weak spot. The ball went straight through and got him out. So describes very articulately and better than I did then, a very clever tactic that shows again just how strategic cricket really is.
In baseball, you paint the inside, you paint the outside. You go high, you never go down the middle. And I guess that's what they're doing. They're painting the outside, they're painting the inside, and he's anticipating something that didn't happen. And they found his weakness, which is the inside pitch.
That is exactly right, John. That is exactly what they were doing here. It's exactly the same concept. And as you can see in this case, works just as well for cricket as it does for baseball.
I'm not comfortable yet, but I'm getting a picture of what's going on here. Turns out cricket is a whole lot like baseball. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. We wait for more results from India for the Australia team. But right now, New Zealand makes a spectacular comeback. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.